The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answers in your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Welcome and shalom to everyone. I hope you all know what this room is all about, and the claim that all the religions of the world are unified is on earth, and the seventh seal is opened, and the revelation of the unification of all religion have come to humanity. We have these sessions most of the Saturdays. Tonight, because some circumstances, and also we wanted to see if we reach new people beside the people usually come to our room on Saturdays, we decided to have this tonight. Basically, this room is for the people who are interested in this mission and this revelation to study our teaching. Go to our website and see the revelation that the truth that have come to humanity and fulfills the foretelling of the coming of the seventh angel that will finish the mystery of God, Revelation 10:7. And each angel is referring to one prophet of God, which brings different revelation to humanity. And at the end time, the whole mystery of God will be revealed to man, and they will see clearly that God has been sending all the revelations and religions to humanity to this point, and now all of them are unified as one. Each of these religions had one specific message for humanity, and none of them is perfect and complete until you put all the pieces together and see this unity, which each of these pieces are a part that reveals a path, which is called Eternal Divine Path. Of course, we have been giving satsangs and revealing this revelation, answering questions for last 23 or 24 years since 1982, and now is the time to go in a deeper level of understanding these teachings, because the revelation is finished. Last year, we did reveal to humanity that indeed it is done, it is finished, it's perfected, and thing that God has given me to give to humanity are revealed to man. Now is the time we come together and understand this teaching in a greater degree. And that is why these sessions are for. And that is why we are asking everybody to go to our website study the teachings, see the greatest sign, understand the meaning of each religion that are on earth, and see when you put them all together, then it reveals what God has been doing and why God said He's going to be a mystery until this revelation. And we are after the seven seals and seventh angel. Time is when the tribulation will come to humanity. Our salvation is the promise of God that His kingdom will come on earth, and it will. Therefore, we do not concentrate on destruction or tribulation or whatever is coming to humanity. We concentrate on the end of the tunnel, the light, the kingdom, and coming of God's revelation and finalizing of what had started 12,000 years ago with flood of Noah and with choosing of Abraham and his children as a sign for humanity to know that God indeed had promised to both Abram and Abraham that a prophet will come from them, and those prophets have been Christ and Muhammad. He chose the children of Israel, the children of light, as an example for humanity. He sent the revelation of the universalism. He revealed the teaching of mystical paths like Hinduism and Buddhism and Kabbalah and Sufism and Christian saints and any other belief that teaches know thyself, to know God. And through those mystical paths, many have experienced unity and oneness with God, and therefore they have come to humanity and told them, yes, indeed, you can experience God. You can have a direct relationship with God. Therefore, with this understanding, the first step is to meditate, to awaken our spiritual forces. And the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh step completes and unifies the rest of these teachings and brings the unity of our religions together. So we can see God indeed exists. He has been directing the history, and all religions of the world have a part in this revelation. And God clearly says only the line of the tribe of Judah can open the book sealed with the seven seals, and that will be the last revelation or the bringing of the holiest of the holies, which is the revelation that we have brought to humanity, the book or the scriptures that unifies all humanity and revelations of God together. If all other religions and people who follow this other teaching realize this, they can see that this revelation has been revealed with the great support of God and revelation and prophecies and genealogy and everything that give it the credit it needs and deserves, and then man can easily sees that the last prophet, the unification, the mystery of God will be finished at this time. Therefore, it is the revelation for whole humanity to see, to come and bring God as first in their lives and in their study and understanding, and forego their own dogmas, their own religions that tell them that their religion is the only religion, their religion is chosen by God, their religion is the last one, or just meditate and don't worry about it. All those are just a part of the truth, and if they study and realize the word of God, they have no choice but utter, indeed it is the truth. Whatever they had is not perfect and is not complete without this revelation, and therefore you are here to hear this revelation, and God has made it very easy for the whole humanity have a small computers, or even go to a restaurant or cafe with the internet and click couple of connections and see the revelation of God is there for them to study and see. Therefore, all will hear it and all will see it at the same time spontaneously, and this indeed is God's doing. So, all the signs tells us that what we say and reveal is from God. There is no doubt about that in the mind of those that they have seen this vision clearly. And that is the requirement of those who come to this mission. We believe that God has been preparing them for 12,000 years. We believe in reincarnation. We believe that God is just. He doesn't just give you one time and one chance and then tells you, well, you didn't make it, go to hell. No, He gives you many, many chances in many lifetimes. We believe that there are many who have been going through progress, awakening their spiritual forces, and therefore they have been prepared for this mission, and they will see it, they will recognize it, and they accept it. They are not false finders. They are not here to find fault. They are truth finders. They are here to find the truth. And they come with the sheep clothing, and indeed there is a sheep in them. They are humble, as Christ said, the humblest is the greatest in the eye of God. And of course, we have all the problems that all the prophets had. We have brought a new revelation. Many people, of course, are attached to their own religion, understanding their own intellectual discoveries. They do not want to give up what they have been taught in their cultures. And therefore, we can see each person come to our rooms or read our teachings. They cannot see the vision. We leave them to God, because those who have been prepared for this vision and teachings, they see it clearly, and they have no doubt, and they're not here to find faults, but find the truth behind it, and accept it, and empty their cup. Therefore, God can put the new wine, the new teachings, the new revelation in their soul, and they become one with it. And there are those who come in the sheep clothing and claim they have seen the vision, but they have not, and they come and they try to change the mind of those who even seen the vision and try to tell them that this vision is not perfect. The serpent in the garden also tried to do to the lower nature of man. Serpent only appears to the lower nature of man. If we meditate and awaken our spiritual forces, then we can see the serpent and their whispering voice, which brings to us behind God. When God was in the garden, serpent wouldn't talk to the woman. But when God wasn't there, behind his back, serpent said those things to the lower nature of man and misguided him, made him take the action that was not good. Summertime is asking reincarnation. Why can't I remember other lives? Very good question. Because each lifetime is like a new page. When you go to school, you buy new notebooks. And those notebooks have nothing in them. And therefore, you don't have anything from the previous years and the time that you went to a school and wrote all those essays and notes and stories and schedules that you have previous years. So this new notebook is clean and clear, and there is nothing that make you remember or indicates that you have gone to school previous years. Of course, you know you have gone to school previous years, and if you want to know where those notes and essays and memories are about those years, you go to previous years and look at the notebooks that has been written in the previous years. Then you remember, oh yeah, I did that essays, and memory are refreshed of what happened. It's the same thing here. When you receive a new body, it has nothing in it. There's nothing written in it. Actually, the new body have a potential of becoming what it's supposed to come. You even don't know any language, and as you grow up after a year, year and a half, or 2 years, the words you hear forms in this new body, and you learn the language you have been born in. There are languages on earth have alphabets that other cultures cannot pronounce. How come all those people were born in those cultures can pronounce those alphabets, but people in other cultures or other language cannot? So each language have a intricacy that only people in that language can do it, and they do it without even thinking twice. Therefore, a new body is a potential of becoming where it's been born, taught, brought up, and influenced with. But of course, we have other bodies, we knew other languages, we have brought up with other cultures, we have been influenced with them, we have acted, reacted. All those actions and learning are kept in ethereal level. Ether is the place that memories are kept. And indeed, computers have the chips. The chips is a solidified ether, and that's why it can keep the memory. Therefore, you can create a computer that keep the memory, keep the information, and it's the same thing in ethereal level in the universe. All the memories from previous lifetimes are stored in the ethereal level in the universe. When you meditate and you access these ethereal level, which is called Akashic Records, you might remember little by little previous lifetime. You might not. And usually, although you have a new body and you don't remember of the previous lifetime, you are influenced. Your soul remembers. Your soul knows where you have been and what you have done, because soul is connected to the ethereal level, but the physical body and brain does not. From brain point of the view, you don't remember who you were. But if you meditate, you will see you are different. You have different desires. If you are a higher level person, you desire to know God, to know yourself. You like to experience who you are, where have you been, where are you going, and all that. And therefore, you can create greater degree of understanding of who you are. This shows that your soul has been influenced with something. People say it is all genetic. We have been born in this genetic setup, and therefore, that is why we feel this way, or we see things the way they are and the way we do. But if that is true, then why two child being born in the same family, they are not the same. They are different. They have a lot of differences even between children in one family. And in one family, they have a child that is more meditative, there is one that is more violent. They're not the same as the parents. If all was gene, then we would have duplicates just going out of every family. Everybody look alike and act alike and will be alike. Why so much different even between the same people who have brought in the same environment? Because they have been in different environment previously in other lifetimes. So with your meditation and understanding in deeper level your longings, you might realize indeed you are different from your siblings and you are different from everybody else. Even the very reason we are here in this room and seeking the truth and the last revelation of God and want to know it, when many people are in the bars and drinking and doing all those things, shows that we are different than them. We are looking for something higher and spiritually more satisfying. So the reason we don't remember it, because our new body doesn't have the memory of previous lifetimes. Not only previous lifetime, history, decisions are made, everything that has ever been happening in the universe are in Akashic record. And those who meditate and access that Akashic record, they understand what happened, historical events, the lives, who they are, where they came from, and eventually their memory will be connected to their universal memory instead of their individual memory. Summertime is asking, I was told once we are to come back 7 times. Is this true? Also, I do remember my birth, not wanting to be born. That's interesting, because that's exactly what happened to me when I was born. I was not breathing. I didn't want to come to this world. And they had to force me to breathe. And eventually, of course, I started breathing and came to life. And that's a very interesting statement, that you didn't want to come to this world. Actually, most of the people who have been in this world and meditating, they want to go to God and be with God, and they don't want to come back to this world because they know that there is better things in the universe than coming to this world, and that is why they hesitate coming back. But of course God said those who do not want to come to this world, they will be spewed out of his mouth and be pushed out and will be back to earth. And that is true. I also had a vision when I was in Colorado Springs. The vision was amazing, and I felt I'm one in the presence of the whole universe, and it was so loving and beautiful that I did not want to come back to my body. I was pushed back to my body and I was sent back. So in a sense, really, I didn't want to come back at all. That's why those who are here and they are sent to this lifetime for a special purpose and reason, they are not attached to this external world, but they are attached to get the job done as soon as possible so they can go back to God. That is where the joy and happiness and unity and great love and ananda or joy of God is. And therefore they don't want to really come back here. But that is selfish kind of a desire, because we do not want to come and help the rest of the humanity and the universe to go back to God. And that's why we are sent back. Sent back to help others also to recognize and realize that they have to go to God. This external world is not permanent, it is temporary, and therefore they have to go to what is permanent, not being attached with the temporary external world. And how many times we will be reincarnated, it depends how fast we learn our lessons. Maybe for those who have been chosen to come and help others to come to understanding of the goal of the life, many of them only are incarnated when the revelations of God have come to humanity, and that is 7 times. They just come here to help, if you can look it that way. But in general, God never can be restricted, and you cannot put a restriction on God and how many times you can reincarnate humanity. It depends how fast you learn your lessons. The sooner you learn your lessons, the sooner you reach pure consciousness. And even when you reach pure consciousness, God is not going to let you stay there. As he said, he will spew out of his mouth, and we can see this experience that you don't want to come here, but you are sent here by force. It's true. None of people who experience God or go to God want to come back, but they do because God sent them back to humanity to help others also to recognize God. But how many times we will be reincarnated, it depends how fast we learn our lessons, how many works have to be done, how fast we can fulfill the promises that God has given to humanity to be fulfilled, and we as the workers of God will return over and over and over, even after we reach higher consciousness and pure consciousness, because that's what God said. He will send us, and we are the worker of God, to come here and help others to reach higher consciousness. That is why the sooner the elects come together and establish God's kingdom on earth, the sooner we can go home and also take many with us home to pure consciousness and God and remember who we really are. We are not this body. We are not what we have. We are not what other people say we should be. We are the essence of God. That is who we are. We and Father are one. And that essence has to be recognized and realized in every human. Not only we have to recognize that in ourselves, also recognize it in others. And therefore, we can see God in everything and everyone. And we can become a nation of God, a kingdom that its focus is to facilitate the goal of the life, to become divine, to become godly. That is the vision of this revelation, to create the kingdom of God on earth. Therefore, we are here to do that. And if we refuse in this lifetime doing it, we will be returned over and over and over until we get it right and bring this revelation and kingdom on earth. So it's up to the elects to come together as soon as possible and put God first in their life and make Him their master. Not this world, but God is number one. Anything else number one, then we have not seen the vision, we have not heard the truth, we have not come together as one nation in God. Therefore, we cannot put a number on number of incarnations, but we can recognize that we might be a great soul, therefore we are called to do a mission. And even that, God has given us the criteria of who is the great soul or the elect. He says, you know them by their fruits. You know me by my revelation from God, which is based on the scriptures, by the prophecies, by genealogy, by the truth that I reveal to humanity as the one who was expected to bring this truth to humanity. And I know you by your fruits, and this recognition is a mutual recognition between us, and those who stay to the end will be saved or will be one in that nation and God. Therefore, everything has been given to us to recognize each other and realize who we are, and if we are great souls, you will see this vision very clearly. And we have seen people, they come see the vision and they jump into the mission with 2 feet and there is no hesitation in them and they recognize the truth and become one with us. If that's the truth, then we know you very well, as we have already known others. I hope that answers your questions. If you have a follow-up, of course, always you can type your follow-up and we can answer them. Aminat is asking, Salam Maitreya. What can we do about children who say they are shy about praying to God? How can anybody be shy praying to God? He's like a loving father that you can go to him, or like a loving mother, that you can sit in her lap and tell her all about everything you want to tell her. If you cannot pray, at least keep silence and close your eyes and look at your shyness to see why are you shy. What is the reason that you are shy? That's a part of the meditation, to look at our shortcoming in the meditation, or at our desires, or whatever is in us, and overcome them by facing them squarely. Now, facing oneself is the scariest thing anybody can do. Most humans don't want to face themselves, because that is very hard thing to do, and only brave will take the challenge to close your eye and look at yourself and say, really, what is in me that I like to change? What is in me that I don't like? What is in me which is not godly? And look at it squarely and be honest about it. That's why we said many times, being honest to yourself is the hardest thing, and it's harder to be honest to yourself than being honest with other people. We have to teach our children that honesty, that pure spirit in them, and by meditation and closing their eyes and seeing themselves squarely, they can overcome. It's not something you fight with it, but you look at it, you examine it, you test it, and you stay with it, and you put the light on it, and one day it just vanishes. It's destroyed. It's not in you anymore. You learn the lesson. You have overcome it, and you are not that bad person any longer, but you are a little better person. As you become a little better person, you are a better person. And as it continues to become better and better, one day you are a good person. You no longer have those hang-ups and problems and desires and wants and all that. Shyness is a problem for many people, and you can overcome it by meditation, and sometimes tantric way, by putting yourself in a situation that it forces you to not to be shy. And that is taking a course, joining a place that you are forced to talk in front of other people, for example. So you are forced to confront your problem. If you are shy to talk to God, just sit down and try to do it. Just like some people say, I'm too bad, I'm too impure to go to God. Doesn't matter, go to God anyway. If you are impure, you learn your lesson. Of course, the closer you get to God, the tests are going to be more severe. You will be tested in a greater degree. But that's good. That means you're pretty close. You're getting there. Just stay with it. Don't quit. As I said, those who stay to the end will be saved. That's what it means. It means don't quit. Don't quit on yourself. Don't quit on God. Just keep going. And if you find the truth, and if you find the revelation or revealer that has been prophesied to come, stay with it to the end. God created the whole universe for this revelation, to reveal to humanity that their goal is to become divine, to become godly, to become pure consciousness, and help them go back home. Therefore, we have to teach our children this truth and teach them not to be afraid of God. God is not something to be afraid of or to be shy, and make children that are truthful, and they can close their eyes and face themselves and put the light and see God within. And then, of course, reach out without, with following the eternal divine path and learning how to share and to be a productive citizen in the society, and also reach to whole humanity as a part of God and share the resources. Then we will see we have more than enough for everybody's need, but not for everybody's greed. Of course, that quote is from Gandhi, that there is enough for everybody. If we can share and we are not greedy, we will not have all these wars and destruction and political maneuvering and everything that is happening on earth. Therefore, children are the beginning of the creation of the communities of light and the kingdom of God. They are the future of humanity. Therefore, we have to have teachers that they know how to meditate and how to face themselves also. All the teachers should be an example of the purity and braveness. They should become masters indeed. Therefore, they can accept disciples, teach children, that they can take them to a higher level. Being a teacher is not a very easy task, especially if you want to present the ideal of God. The way it's been given to humanity to bring the light to man. Of course, earth is full of darkness at this time. We have a great task in front of us to accomplish, and by knowing ourselves and realizing that this teaching is the purifying and salvation of man, little by little we can bring that purity to humanity and children. Actually, that would be great if we can have schools that there is time that children can sit and meditate. It's time that the children can pray together with the teachers. It would be good if we can create the communities and the society that is geared toward purity and godliness instead of other way around. Not godliness in a sense of dogma and dogmatic ways, but godliness in the sense of bringing God's ways to humanity and man. And that is the promise God has given us, that it will come. It seems that it's impossible with this world and the way it goes and how ungodly it is and how ungodly ideas are presented to man, and that's the way it's going. This is impossible. But probably the people who first received the other revelation, they thought the same thing. For example, Hebrews, there were very few people who were Hebrews, and they never thought the religion become an example for the whole humanity, that everybody knows the Old Testament. When the Christ came and he was crucified, 12 disciples never thought their ideas ever going to get anywhere. Or when Prophet Muhammad came and brought the idea of turning and submission to God, Mecca was a pagan place. They had 365 idols that worshipped every day for all nations. It sounds like it's impossible this thing happened. In our case also, the world seems to go toward the darkness and ungodliness even in a greater degree. But as God said and promised before, and he fulfilled them, so he will fulfill this promise as well. And his kingdom will come to earth for sure. So, be pure yourself first. Meditate, understand his teaching, understand the purity of the soul. Confront your own impurities head on in your meditation. And teach your children do the same. And tell them, pray anyway. If you're shy, still go and sit and kneel and humble yourself in front of the Spirit and close your eyes, and at deepest level in your meditation, pray, and eventually one day you will experience the Spirit and a connection to God, and you realize that indeed the Spirit is there. It is the same Spirit that guided the universe to this point, and his purpose is to call you back home. But you cannot go home until you bring many with you. We have another question from Brahma Murti. Isa is very close to USA. That's interesting. Is that just a coincidence? I'm thinking about the prophecy of gathering the people. There is nothing coincidence in these things, and for sure you are right. ESA, ESA and USA, they are very close, aren't they? Probably that shows that ESA will come in USA. In last revelation he bring, and we know that this nation has been prophesied to receive the great light, and there are many expectations for Christ to come in the U.S. and bring the great revelation to humanity, and the light will come from this land and will be spread to other nations. With internet and all the facility that God has given us, really there is no boundaries anymore. We can talk with everybody at the same time in the world. And we did came in USA, therefore there sure is a connection them. If you look at the Jerusalem, also had USA in it. There are not coincidences. God's mind is amazing and how it works, and it reveals great truth and great things. It seems coincidence, but they're not. Just for example, this revelation eventually manifested to humanity in New Mexico. And New Mexico is where South America and North America meet, bordered to Mexico. South American people mostly came from Spain, and their blood were influenced with the Arab, and therefore they mostly are children of Ishmael. And North America came from England. They are the children of Isaac. Therefore, New Mexico is the meeting place between the children of Ishmael and the children of Isaac. They're both were the children of Abram or Abraham. Is that a coincidence? Or is there something to think about and ponder on? So we can see, no, they're not coincidence. They're tidbits of the truth that God reveals to you to strengthen your faith. So many tidbits has been revealed to this mission, which is amazing. It strengthens your belief and realization. God is amazing and His mind is amazing. Summertime is asking, is it possible to be sinless? Everything is possible with God and with His grace. Yes, indeed, we can be sinless if we let God come through. The more God comes through, the more sinless will become. And when we are one with God, there is no sin. That is a promise. That is something that has been given to us, that we should become perfect as God is. What is perfect? Perfect is He who has no sin, who has perfected Himself and become law. Actually, grace is law. If you have the grace of God, you have the law with you, and you follow the law of God. Therefore, those who say you have been saved by grace, not law, they make a great mistake. Because if you have the grace, you follow the law, and therefore you become sinless. Yes, indeed, there is the possibility to become sinless, but not by work and forcing yourself, but by meditating and confronting your sins and being able to forgive yourself. That's one of the hardest things for humanity. They can forgive others easily, but then it comes to themselves. Some people have a hard time to forgive themselves or forgive others, but mostly forgive themselves and confess the sin and say, okay, I am a sinner. I did or I have done this thing which were not according to God, but I will meditate and I confront them, I face them, and I will not do them again, and eventually put a lot of light in those tendencies, and one day you will overcome them and you have no desires to sin anymore. The more sinless you become, the more perfect you will become, and one day you realize the less sin you have, the freer you are, closer to God you are, and oneness with God is achievable. And therefore, you will become in the flow with God, and life become a trust completely in God and you and God become one. And you can, of course, manifest great truth to other people, and you will become an example for them that indeed you can become sinless. And if there is any thought of sin even, you can overcome them by meditating and overcoming them. So yes, it is. There is a way, and that is grace. The thinker is asking, thank God, I am an atheist. Okay, so you don't believe God exists? You have to read our teachings, see how God promised Abraham, and many other promises, and he fulfilled them. If he can promise and fulfill them, therefore God exists, and if you see that, you no longer can stay atheist. And you will see that indeed is you. Maybe what you mean by atheist, you don't follow dogmas or religion on earth that teaches you have to believe in this set of dogma to go to God, and you had enough of things that intellectually are not truth or doesn't appeal to you. Well, join the club. I was an atheist myself. I didn't believe God existed because they couldn't show me God. And therefore I said, he doesn't exist. There is no God, and the only thing is matter. So I became very interested in dialectic materialism because it made sense. After I had an experience with God, then I realized indeed God too exists. So we encourage you, like everybody else, to go and read our teaching and see the history, how God has fulfilled the prophecies that he said he will, and hopefully you will intellectually realize indeed a spirit in you is the same essence as God, and maybe after that close your eyes, and one day hopefully you have an experience and you realize those who are atheists, they just don't like dogmas, but indeed the spirit in them is the same as God. If you experienced it and you realize this, then that would be great. If you didn't, we leave you to God. You think you're asking, I do not believe in biblical stories. We do not believe in everything in the Bible either. It has been translated 27 times, and man changes the scriptures to what they understand themselves. And there have been many priests that they have changed the scriptures, or they have taught things that is not based on the Bible, or some of the stories might have been added or changed according to man's way. But there are a lot of truth that is been given commentary on, and you can go to our website and look at them. Atheist Maitreya, I do not believe there is a God. Well, I know that, because the existence of God cannot be proven. That's what I said. If God said he's going to do these things through the history and he have done them, then he exists. That's your proof. Yeah, I cannot bring God on the microscope and show it to you and say he is God, because God is a spirit, God is mind. Can you see your mind? I'm not talking about your brain. Yeah, you can see your brain. But can you see your memory, your mind? You can't. Therefore, mind doesn't exist either, because you can't see it. Brain is just a machine. What works with the brain? That is the question. So we can see that indeed we have to see these teachings and revelation and see God said he's going to do this thing, he has done them, and therefore he does exist. And then, of course, after you saw that, sit and meditate and experience God, and then not only he exists in the book and his revelation, but it exists in you, and you know that. You think again, experience. What kind of experience? How can you believe in something you cannot taste, see, hear, and feel? Well, that's exactly what is beyond your mind, beyond your intellect. If you want to feel God and touch God, taste God, this you can actually. After you experience God and you realize you don't exist, but God exists, your state of realization will be reversed. Now you say God doesn't exist, but to he who have experienced God, he realizes I don't exist, but God do exist, and he is everything. Everything there is a part of God. It is our delusion of separation from God that makes us to have an ego separate from him, and we think we exist. And then we have an experience with God, and we realize, wow, who was that? I do not exist. I'm not there. God is there. It is up to you. I am a Vaishya. I'm telling you how to experience God and know God exists. And that's how you do it. By realizing God said there is going to be a revelation or coming of the truth, and he has done them, and now we give you the way. You want to do it? Go to our website, study our teachings, see how God said he will do things in the history and he has done them. Accept that there is God and meditate and follow eternal divine path. We guarantee you will experience God. You think, so I am supposedly part of God? Of course you are. Everything is a part of God. There is nothing which is not God. That doesn't mean nobody else is but you. But you are, yes indeed, you are a part of God. Your essence, that thing that you call e-thinker, is one with God. There is no separation. It is our illusion that we are separate from God. If we can overcome that illusion, there is no separation. God is a spirit. God is consciousness and the three creative forces. If you can accept that and experience that, then you say, well, yeah, I have one. There is no separation between me and God. That most human cannot believe it. A lot of religious people come to our room and yell, no, you can say God is everything, because they have the delusion of separation from God. And that is one of the reasons we are killing one another and so much suffering is on earth, because we cannot believe we really are God. We are a part of him. Summertime is asking, the separation of God and man, can it cause suffering? Indeed, the whole reason for suffering is the delusion of separation from God, which is Maya. That is what Maya is. When you separate from God, then you have an ego. Ego indeed doesn't exist in truth. Ego itself is an illusion. Ego exists only when you have the illusion of separation from God. That illusion is shattered, then you realize you don't exist. If you don't exist, but God exists, will be there an ego? That is why the fourth seal, surrendering and submission to God, surrendering means doing the work of God and surrendering the result to God, and submission, which knowing God, doing it through you, is the highest spiritual realization. Because that shatters that delusion of separation from God. Of course, if you understand the teaching of the surrendering and submission, and if you understand that, and you let God come through, you don't exist. There is no ego. There is no separation. There is no illusion. There is no Maya. There is no suffering. Because you will do exactly what God wants you to do, and you live your life in a flow, no matter how much destruction is around you, you are above all of it. And you will live a life in God. Indeed, you are in Eden. You are in God in that higher state of consciousness. The thinker is asking, the chair is God. That cup is God. I'm God. No. So how is God perfect if I am not perfect? God, the essence, is perfect. Again, you have to go and read our teachings, see how everything is started from the very beginning. Everything was in equilibrium and perfect. Somehow that equilibrium was disturbed, and therefore the part of the universe was God, had this illusion or delusion that they are separate from the other part, and the whole creation starts from there. Therefore, that delusion of separation from God made them separate from God, and the whole creation was created to turn this part of God which have gone astray and created separate ego back to God. And therefore, everything is God, but not everything is in pure consciousness. Yes, that cup is God, but that cup is crucified with the crucifying force to form that cup. If you take the crucification that used to create that cup, it will return to essence. That cup seems to you solid, but if you have a scientific mind, you know it's not, because it's made out of atom. There is a great space in each atom, and therefore that cup is mostly a space, and it seems to you solid, but it's not. Then you recognize that what you see indeed a delusion. It's your illusion of not realizing that that cup is not a solid object. And if you take the forces that created that solid looking object, you will reach the essence of that cup, which is God. So that is why this cup doesn't look to you like God. It doesn't look to you perfect, but indeed its essence is created from God. So God indeed is everything, and everything is marching toward perfection. The thinker again asking, if God is composed of finite, imperfect parts, like myself, chair, the cup, then how can God be a perfect being? As I said, God is everything, but not everything is pure consciousness or perfection, and therefore we see imperfection in that cup, but in truth and essence, that cup indeed is God. Okay, I guess we have gone over our time for 20 minutes. I'm going to take the last question from Ethinger. A cup is not solid object. Say what? Or can you elaborate in that question? A cup is not a solid object. Say what or say who? If you study science, that cup is created by atoms. There is a lot of space in every atom. Actually, atom is mostly space, and therefore that cup is mostly a space. But the reason you don't see it, because your eye is not created to see atoms and quarks and all the elements that is created them. Now they have gone to the string theory, that everything is created with the strings. They are trying also to find a unified theory that everything has come from it. And therefore, they also realize scientifically that everything should have come from the same thing. But of course, yogis thousands of years ago recognized that and told them it is consciousness and the creative forces. This satsang will be in the internet for listening further. For those who have not been in this room, or for those who could not hear it well, or the sound broke or anything, in our room called Discourses by Maitreya. I leave you all to God. Be good. Contemplate on this truth and become an elect. Salam, everybody.